This call is now being recorded.
Hey, this is Gunn from the podcast The Indefensible Middle Ground, and I'm talking to Brian Carlos Sanchez, an author and a Bernie Sanders supporter. Brian, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I am great, but I am schwitzing. I am in a battleground state for one of the first times in my voting life. I'm in a battleground state with an open primary, which means an independent like me has the chance to vote. And I am really trying to figure out the way the polls have shifted. I don't know if I want to vote for a candidate that I like, which on the Democrat side, I only have one option there, Bernie Sanders. Uh-huh. You've seen some of my posts about old Hilbo. I'm not a big fan of rampant law breaking. But on the Republican side, I have the opportunity to vote against Trump, which Trump is, I think he's just immature. Breaking down his whole thing of not wanting to disavow the Klan, not because he doesn't want to lose their vote, but really just because he's so immature that he didn't want to disagree. He didn't want to agree with Jake Tapper. If you actually break down what that was, it's like, this guy he's not pandering to the Ku Klux Klan vote. He's just so immature that he's wanting to pick a fight with Jake Tapper. That's it. That's all he wanted to do. So,
yeah, I feel that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just feel that everything that he does, anything that Trump does, it's pretty much his game. You know, he wants to play it his way, so he's going to say what he's going to want to say, and he's just gauging a reaction. He wants to see what will happen. He's almost like he wants to see how the world responds to how he reacts, because to him, he's a master showman, and that enough is scary, but to know that there is no consequence that he is concerned of, you know, to me, that's what I'm afraid of with regards to him.
Yeah, if he loses the presidential campaign, he just goes back to being billionaire. He doesn't appear to really believe in any of the convictions he's throwing out there. And basically, you'll see where somebody will be like, I'm strong against terrorism, and so he'll try to say the next biggest thing. Say, well, I'll kill their families. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's not helpful. It's not helpful dialogue. So what do you think I should do? Should I vote against Trump, meaning that I vote Republican, and I have two options if I try to do that, which is I would vote for a candidate that I actually like in the Republicans, which sorry to my Republican friends, but I don't really like most of the candidates. I do like Ben Carson. I don't think he is a dislikable person. I think even though he said some silly things, I think you'd have to be a really mean person to dislike the guy, because he's very soft-spoken.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, as for me, I just feel that there isn't a Republican candidate that I feel strongly for, you know, for obvious reasons. They just, their politics just don't align with my own. If I were to answer your question bluntly, I would just say vote for your convictions. Vote for who you believe in. Vote for who you want to become the president, as opposed to voting against, which I know that in an open primary, you can use your vote. I mean, use it as a tool to express your voice, either for or against. But I think right now, personally, and again, I can't really speak for everybody else, I'd be placing my vote for Bernie just because I feel that this is our only chance. I know that several endorsers have said the same thing, that, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we may not have again. 4 years from now, we might not have the same opportunity we have right now. So,
right.
4 years ago was different. 8 years ago, you know, we had President Obama, and, you know, I feel that a lot of his promises didn't go through the way I would have liked. So 4 years ago, I didn't vote at all. I didn't vote for anybody. Part of it is because I moved to Indiana, from California. Another thing is just that I just felt that my vote at that time just really didn't matter. There wasn't anyone that I felt strongly for or against. And in a way, my non-voting was almost in protest. But in this case, with Bernie Sanders running, and again, it's not like I've never known about him. I've known about Bernie Sanders for quite a while. I've known him since he was an independent congressman and Democratic Socialist. So it's not like he's a new name or a new face. So as soon as I found out that he was running, I was immediately supporting him. So I'm not somebody that is a newbie in this. And so far as Hillary is concerned, I mean, I'm just not at all supportive of what I just feel that she's untrustworthy. She's got too much support from Goldman Sachs, from Wall Street, from the prison industrial complex. I mean, you name it. So I just can't vote for someone whom I feel has profited off of the suffering of others in America. And on top of that is pandering to the very people whom she has caused this amount of suffering to she and her husband. So,
again,
I feel that in this election, voting for somebody that you feel strongly for, especially if you're leaning towards a Democratic candidate, is the better option, as opposed to using your vote as a tool to vote against a candidate that you don't want.
Okay, so you're saying vote for, don't vote against. But
at least right now. I mean,
okay.
Everything changes, and in this case, I would vote for.
Well, my thing is, okay, so let's do role playing. You have to vote Republican. What do you do?
Oh, I have to vote Kasich.
Really?
That
was not expected. Well, Kasich is the most, see, but he, I don't think he's anywhere near the finish line, though.
I know. See, again, it's how you want to use your vote. You want to use your vote by saying the lesser of all evils, or are you going to use
right.
this vote to kind of sway the vote? If you know that your vote's not going to matter as much as being a dissenting vote, you can either use it by voting for whom you feel is the closest in line with how you resonate politically, or...
Awesome.
Just use it almost like as a big FU to the dominant candidate. So
exactly.
I don't really align myself with Carson, or indefinitely not Cruz, whom I feel in some ways I'm more afraid of Cruz than I am with Trump.
Right.
With Trump, I just feel that he's rousing a lot of negative sentiment. And that's what I fear about Trump, is that he is exploiting the worst of Americans to get to be popular, and that's what he wants. He just wants this attention. He wants it all to himself, and he'll say and do whatever he wants to get
right.
the people to talk about him and to vote for him. Whereas someone like Cruz, I mean, he's on his own crusade, which he feels is bigger than himself.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with his upbringing. And then you have everybody else, which, you know, for better or for worse, they're just junior versions of the dominant candidates right now.
Yeah. So. Well, I do want to, like, toss one perspective note in there. I know that we can all get really bogged down with the negativity and the hatred and different stories about people throwing around racial slurs and then saying Trump, you know, right after that. I'm like, I'm voting for Trump. And I do want to put one perspective note. Those stories bug me. They bother me just like everybody else. But one of the things I always do is I put it in perspective and I look at the numbers. The actual numbers of people supporting Trump, and specifically supporting Trump for xenophobic reasons, not the majority of the Republican Party. And the Republican Party is not the majority of the country. The Republican Party is a minority of the country. We're talking 35 to 40% of the country. A minority within their party supports Trump. We're talking 20 to 40%, depending on when you're looking. And a minority of them support him for the xenophobic reasons. So as much as we all hate, you know, you, me, the podcast listeners, we all hate racism, segregation, slurs, all that BS, we do need to know that the majority of Republicans also hate that crap. And the majority of Americans are also sick of that crap. So, yeah, it's not a huge, scary world, which is one of the points that I like to try to get across. It's not as scary as the xenophobic people want it to be for us.
I'd like to believe that. I also know that history has shown that a great majority of people had rallied toward a person during great economic struggle, and this person ended up decimating millions of Jews.
Well, as much as I hate the big person you're talking about, which is kind of part of my religion not to mention people's names like that, as much as I hate that, I would want to point out, even he didn't have a majority of the country when he came into power.
No, that's true. He didn't have the majority, but the
no,
people
he
that
forced
voted,
the people.
Voted.
Yeah.
Just like here.
Same with the Ayatollah. The Ayatollah didn't have the majority of the people in Iran wanting a despot. He had to control the people with Hezbollah and Comite and the Iran-Iraq War after taking over. So I'm not saying that a minority that uses fear and hatred isn't something we should actively fight against. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying the world isn't as scary as all that. There is always going to be good people. And
I agree.
It's not going to be too hard to find them.
We just want to make sure that the good people are the ones that we must practice mindful wisdom in whom we put into these positions of power, and the burden of their, the burden of what relevancy and the power that we give them rests on them. And if they can't come through and show that they are truly supporting all of the masses, then they shouldn't be given the opportunity. And then someone like Donald Trump, who, yes, that's true that he's not supported by super PACs or corporate interests. No, he's not getting, he's on the other end of the spectrum with regards to Bernie Sanders, because both of them are not bought. The only difference is one is coming from a position of bringing people together, whereas the other is, with his own words, using it to divide and using it divisively to divide and have people point at each other. And whether it's not, you're not going to have riots going on, with people saying Trump, 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 while they do some hate crime, but it's happening. I mean, just a month or two ago, my 14-year-old son in high school told his classmates about me. My 14-year-old adopted son, he's Caucasian, I'm Filipino, showed a picture of him, and his classmates said that I look like a terrorist. So it's happening. People are influenced by what their parents believe in, and I'm trying to influence my children to not think that way. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle because I come from a different perspective than, say, you or other people. You know, I've gone through my own experiences of racism, and I don't appreciate it because I don't feel like someone that should be put in that position. But it's a sad reality. And I consider myself an intelligent person. When I open my mouth, then people will see that I'm not what maybe they might think just by looking at me. And so these are obstacles that we as Americans need to face. I mean, it's the shadow that's going to be following us no matter how fast we run. And until we turn around and face our fears of who we are, it's never going to change. And, you know, this reactive way of dealing with problems by wanting to build walls, wanting to, you know, separate rather than unite, it's not going to lead to anything. And whether we support someone because we feel that, you know, the majority of the people feel that he'll serve us as a better leader, and then the minority of those are using it as an opportunity to enact whatever hate that they want, that still exists, right? You know,
I want to say that I'm sorry to hear about a very bizarre incident with somebody saying you look like a terrorist. I've seen your pictures on Facebook. You definitely don't look like a terrorist. You're like,
well,
you're a very handsome fella. Plus, I've never really looked at a Filipino and gone, clearly that's a terrorist. That's a, I've looked at some Irish people, maybe, definitely. Especially
it's the facial
height of
hair,
level.
I think. I don't know.
As I stated, my family's very diverse, and we lived in various small towns growing up, and some people see pictures of my cousin going, oh, those are adopted, right? That's not true. Because they thought a big thing in rural America is that there's no such thing as race mixing. That's against the Bible, which it's not. It's not against the Bible. Happens in the Bible, actually, Moses and Zipporah. But anyway, we dealt with people very confounded at there being too much melanin in our family and confused by that. So yeah, we've bumped into that too, and I really hate to see politics nowadays in any way exploiting the ignorance that's out there. Like, you should never say, hey, there's ignorance out there. That's a useful tool for me. You should say, hey, there's ignorance out there. Let's fix that. if let's fix that isn't your thought process, I don't want you to be president.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping that whatever happens, you know, the voters will use this opportunity to make their voice heard, and pray that whatever happens will be for the best. And I mean, I hate to be so overly general about it, but at that point, once the vote is cast, we have to put our hands up and just hope that the right thing happens. And if we feel that justice needs to be served, if somehow we are wrong, we need to address it. We need to protest. We have every right to. We need to open our mouths and say something. So I think that's it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. I hope we can do this again.
Definitely.
Yes, all right. Well, you have a great rest of your day, and everybody out there, get out and vote for your the candidate you believe in. All right, thank you so much.
All right, man.